We are now about to renew our acquaintance with a gentleman of fashion who seems to be in rather a hurry to meet with Ralph Nickleby.
What a damnation long time you have kept me ringing at this confounded bell. It's enough to throw a strong man into convulsions. Damn it.
And Mr. Mantalini pushes past Newman Noggs to the door of Ralph's office.
Mr. Nickleby, damned good to see you. I've never seen you looking so damned fine in all my damned life.
What do you want?
What do I want? Yes. Very good. What do I want?
Well?
Oh, damn. Demnition discount.
Money is scarce.
Damned scarce, or I shouldn't want it.
I'll see what I can do. How many bills have you there?
Two.
Amount?
Damn trifling. £5.70.
I'll do them for you for £5.20.
Oh, damn it. Very well.
And their business has scarcely been agreed when Newman ushers in Madame Mantalini.
Good day to you, ma'am.
I am ashamed of you, Alfred.
Ashamed of me, my joy? It knows it is talking damn charming sweetness, but naughty fibs. It knows it is not ashamed of its own Papa Lorem Tibby.
Unfortunately, it appears as though the Papa Lorem Tibby has rather miscalculated for the nonce the extent of his lady's affection.
Oh, Mr. Nickleby, please excuse my intrusion, which is entirely attributable to the gross misconduct of Mr. Mantalini.
Of me? My essential juice of pineapple?
He is extravagant, Mr. Nickleby. His extravagance is beyond all bounds. And so I have made up my mind.
To do what, my joy?
To put him upon a fixed allowance. And I say that if he has £120 a year for his clothes and pocket money, he may consider himself a very fortunate man.
Damnation, but no! It is a damned horrid dream. It is not reality. No.
You have brought it upon yourself, Alfred.
I am a damned villain. I will fill my pockets and drown myself in the Thames. But first, I will put a note in the Tuppenny Post to tell her where the body is. Oh, she will be a lovely widow. I shall be a body. And she will laugh. Damnably.
Alfred, you cruel, cruel creature.
She calls me cruel. Me, who for her sake will become a damp, damp, moist, unpleasant body.
Oh, you know, it almost breaks my heart even to hear you talk of such a thing.
Can I live to be mistrusted? Damn it, no, I can't.
And Mr. Mantalini attempts to reach the door in order to go straight away and make himself a body.
Alfred, stop!
Leave me alone. I will be a body.
Oh, no. Promise me, you shall never be a body.
But I shall. I shall be a damned, stiff, useless body.
No, please. I'll do anything.
Anything, my fairy plum?
Anything, my own tulip?
And so it seems Mr. Mantalini has gained a fresh lease of his easy life, for the time being at least.
Oh, we must now take our leaves, Mr. Nickleby. I am sure we have detained you much too long already.
Mr. Mantalini rises, blows his wife several kisses as she leaves the room, and then draws Ralph aside.
Damn strange business about your friend Sir Mulberry, eh, Nickleby?
What do you mean?
Don't you know, Demet?
I see by the paper that he was thrown from his cabriolet last night and severely injured, but accidents are not unusual when men live hard and drive after dinner.
Ah, then you don't know how it was. You don't know that it wasn't an accident at all, but a damned furious manslaughter attack made upon him by your nephew.
What do you say?
Damn it, Nickleby, you're as great a tiger as he is.
Tell me what you mean. What is this story? Oh. Who told you? Speak, do you hear me?
Dad, Nickleby, you're enough to frighten my life and soul out of a delicious wit.
Tell me what you know.
Well, it happened this way. Your nephew met Sir Mulberry Hawk at a coffee house, followed him to his cab, smashed his countenance, which is a damn fine countenance in its natural state, frightened the horse, pitched out Sir Mulberry and himself, and...
Was Nicholas killed? Was he? Is he dead?
No, unless he was dashed into such little pieces that they blew away. He wasn't hurt, for he went off quite comfortable as damnation.
What was the cause of the quarrel?
You are the damnedest, knowing, cunningest, rummest, superlativest old fox. Oh, damn, to pretend not to know that it was the little bright-eyed niece, the softest, sweetest, prettiest.
We are leaving.
She is quite right. She is always right. And when she says it is time to go, it is time, and go we shall.
And Mr. Mantalini kisses the fingers of his gloves to Ralph Nickleby, draws his lady's arm through his, and leads her mincingly away.
So, this devil is loose again and thwarting me at every turn. He told me there should be a day of reckoning between us, sooner or later. I shall make it sooner.
Ralph Nickleby is interrupted in these thoughts by the entrance of a man who, bringing his one eye, for he has but one, to bear on Ralph Nickleby, makes many shambling bows and sits himself down in an armchair.
Well, this is a surprise. Mr. Squeers. And how is Mrs. Squeers? And how are you?
Mrs. Squeers, sir, is as she always is, a mother to them lads, and a blessing and a joy to all them as knows her. One of our boys got an abscess on him last week to see how she operated upon him with a penknife. Oh, Lord, what a member of society that woman is.
Have you quite recovered from that scoundrel's attack?
Only just. I was one blessed bruise, sir, from here to here. Vinegar and brown paper from morning to night, as I laid all of a heap in our kitchen. You might have thought I was a large brown paper parcel, chock full of nothing but groans.
I am not to suppose that you are ready to forgive or forget the violence that was committed upon you by my nephew.
No, not for the world.
Or that you would wish to lose an opportunity of repaying it, if you could get one.
What do you have in mind?
Who is this boy that Nicholas took with him?
His name's Smike.
Smike. And what sort of boy is he?
Well, he might be nigh 20. He wouldn't seem so old, though, to them as didn't know him, for he was a little wanting. Nobody at home, if you know what I mean. Nobody at home, if you knocked ever so often.
And you did knock pretty often, I dare say.
Yeah, pretty well.
Does he have parents, family, friends?
None. They all deserted him long ago.
Are you sure?
Quite sure. 14 years ago, a stranger brought him to my place and left him there. The money was paid for some 6 or 8 years, and then it stopped. The man had given an address in London, but when it came to the point, nobody knowed anything about him, so I kept the lad out of
charity.
Charity, to be sure. And just when he begins to be useful in a certain sort of way, this young scoundrel of a Nickleby comes and carries him off.
Indeed.
I only wish Mrs. Squeers could catch hold of him. Bless her heart, she'd murder him, Mr. Nickleby. She would as soon as eat her dinner.
Indeed. We will talk of this again. I need time to think. Perhaps I can find a way of striking at him through this boy.
Strike him how you like, sir. Only... hit him hard enough, that's all. I bid you good day.
Mr. Squeers leaves Ralph Nickleby musing on when and where and how best to strike his nephew. In order to avail himself of all the options and gather his few allies around him, Ralph Nickleby resolves to visit Sir Mulberry Hawk.
Nickleby, I've had a small mishap, as you can see.
Indeed. Sir Mulberry, I had no idea you were so badly injured.
Oh, state your business.
Sir Mulberry, I want you to know that I am deeply grieved that a relative of mine should have inflicted this punishment on you.
A punishment? He didn't punish me. The mayor took fright, that's all.
Well, whatever he did. I disown the vagabond now, and I give you leave to take your revenge in any way you choose. By wringing his neck, perhaps.
When I'm off this cursed bed, I'll do more than wring his neck. I'll have such revenge as never man had yet. I'll slit his nose and ears. I'll flog him and beat him and maim him for life. And I'll drag that pattern of chastity, that pink of prudery, that delicate little Kate through the mire.
Be sure to get the boy first. It shouldn't be difficult. A raw, slight stripling against a man like you, whose very weight might crush him.
And it shall, it shall.
After all, you were a patron of the ring, were you? Not a skilled one at that. How a mere boy can have done this to you? Well, perhaps luck was on his side this time.
It was, exactly that. But he'll need more than luck when I'm well again. I shall seek him out wherever he hides.
No, he doesn't hide, Sir Mulberry. He swaggers round the streets looking for you and boasting of what he's done.
What do you say?
If only we lived in a civilized country. I'd pay to have him stabbed to the heart and eaten by dogs.
Well, I shall do worse than that, just as soon as I'm recovered.
Don't you have to wait that long? What about Lord Verisoft? Can he not take your part?
Lord Verisoft? Why, he told me he would never be a party to such a cowardly attack.
Cowardly? Is he mad? What does he say?
He thinks we wronged his sister Kate, and that Nicholas merely acted as any brother should.
Arrant nonsense. Nicholas is a scoundrel. He must be punished.
My very words.
And you are right. You are right, Sir Mulberry. I am disappointed in Lord Frederick, sorely disappointed.
Don't concern yourself with him, Mr. Nickleby. I shall deal with him later. Leave him to me.
And Nicholas?
Leave him to me.
Be sure to beat him and flog him and maim him for life. To slit his ears and nose.
Thank you, Nickleby. I know how to kill a man, I think.
Good. In which case, I wish you a speedy recovery, and I bid you farewell.
Ralph Nickleby makes his way back to his chambers with an unwonted crease in his face. Almost a smile. We leave him imagining the imminent demise of his nephew Nicholas, and pondering on the ways and means by which it might be brought about.
Any means will do, but he must be punished.